great example that I can think of and like something that's like set off like a real like neurosis for me that's related to a horror movie is the fucking Final Destination movies.
Oh my god, the trucks.
Like, yeah, like the logging truck. Like I see a logging truck and I'm
oh yeah,
I'm nervous about it.
I'm terrified I'm gonna get crushed.
Yes, and like I'm I still like get paranoid because of those movies about just like dying in like some sort of like freak accident in everyday life.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters. Hello, you're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual.
Today, we are going to discuss the science of scary movies. Yay! But before we get to our discussion, let's do something spooky. So, Paige, did anything spooky happen to you in the last week?
Of course not. But we have, well, you wrote it down in the notes. I was just prepared to talk about how excited I was that today.
Great.
You guys will be listening to this like much later in the year, but we are recording it on Halloween.
Halloween! Yeah, it's April 30th, and that means we are halfway to Halloween from the previous Halloween. So 6 months until Halloween. And by the time this comes out, it'll be like pretty dang close to spooky season again. Because I think it'll be like late July or early August when this comes out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
So what are you
guys
doing?
Will be so close.
What are you doing to celebrate?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To actually celebrate Halloween?
Yeah.
Well, I wore one of my Hocus Pocus t-shirts today. So that was very exciting. I guess I shouldn't say one of. I only own one Hocus Pocus t-shirt. I just own several Halloween t-shirts and sweaters. But I wore that. And then I'm planning to watch either Hocus Pocus or some other Halloween movie, depending on if Steven hangs out with me or if he's doing something else. Then it depends. What are you going to do?
Well, I also have a Halloween shirt on.
Excellent.
I'm wearing one of my Beetlejuice Halloween shirts. And yes, I do have more than one Beetlejuice shirt. And then I think that I am probably going to watch. I think I'm going to watch Practical Magic. I think that's what I've decided on. But I'm also definitely considering going to purchase like bags of candy.
Oh, I bought bags of candy, but it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, so did we. We have like little movie sized, like, you know, like the little movie sized treats that you can get. We have like 4 or 5 boxes of candy because we were going to do like a movie night sometime this weekend.
That's really
but
cute.
But I don't feel like I should eat that candy for this. So I think I'm going to get another collection like of candy.
Like the little fun sized candies.
Yeah.
And pretend like it's actually Halloween.
Right.
Okay. Fair enough. It's a very exciting time.
Maybe I'll just like walk around and knock on people's doors and say like trick or
treat. Trick or treat. That would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to think about Halloween now because it feels like this coming Halloween will be a lot more normal.
Well, we might actually happen.
Yes. We honestly had a pretty good Halloween last year. It ended up being super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it'll be a little bit more traditional and we'll be able to like dress Alice up and take her out. So yeah. Yeah. And side note about Practical Magic, that is a good choice. That's always like one of, if not the first fall movie that I watch every year.
Yeah. So you only introduced me to that movie like a couple years ago.
I've been missing out.
I know. And since then, I think I've watched it at least twice every year. usually once around this time, and then once like right before I like really start getting into like. Like you said, it's like the first one when beliefs start changing. Yeah. I watch it right around the same time that I start my Gilmore Girls rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now I just really want it to be fall. Wow. People listening to this, you are so lucky.
More importantly, I mean, yeah, Halloween's going to be great this year. I mean, I will be like wedding hopping on Halloween, so I won't be able to do really much for Halloween this year. But we will. Well, the chance of us actually making it to Salem this year, it's looking a little better. It's not quite so grim. We might actually be able to go to Salem.
Yes, it's looking really good. I think since both Paige and I are fully vaccinated and like restrictions and stuff for fully vaccinated people are lifting. Like if we wear masks in the plane and stuff, it's definitely feeling like it's going to be okay to travel and go on this trip. So yay.
We're finally doing it.
We finally get to go. Okay. Well, that's enough about wishing that it was Halloween when it's April.
The sun is only just now coming out. We're already wishing it away.
I know. Well, yeah, and I talk a big game, but I am super excited that it's warming up outside and I'm really excited for summer. So yeah. Okay. But so we're gonna jump into scary movie science, and the first thing that I wanted to do, so it's going to be more anecdote time, sorry, is talk about what the scariest movie is that we've ever seen. So this is just pure opinion. So Paige, what would you say is the scariest movie that you've ever seen?
Okay, so when I saw your answer, I then had to change mine a little bit because you gave like a couple different answers, and I do think that Kid Paige and Adult Paige would have different answers. So I'm actually going to start with Kid Paige, and I've talked about my experience with this movie already on the podcast, but I think Kid Paige would say that Exorcism of Emily Rose was probably the scariest movie that I had seen. Mm-hmm.
I've still never seen. And also I didn't realize that it was Deb from Dexter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
I didn't really watch Dexter, so I don't know that I would have known that anyway.
Oh, you did? That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, never mind.
But that's exciting, I guess. And then have you ever seen the movie Identity?
Oh, it's that's like got John Cusack in it?
Yes. Maybe? Yeah, I
Are
think
they,
you're
like,
right.
At a hotel?
Yeah, they're at like a motel and like okay. One by one they start dying off, and then it's like a twisty movie. It's got some twisties
in
there.
Yeah, I think Steven really liked that movie, and then after we moved in together, he made me watch it, and I was not impressed.
So here's what I'll say. I have not watched either of these movies as an adult, so yeah. They both could be terrible, but I had, like, I remember vividly, first of all, obviously the story I told before about Exorcism of Emily Rose, like, and me waking up in the night is creepy, but I remember waking up several times after watching the movie Identity, and there was, like, one scene in particular that, like, for some reason just freaked me out, and it would wake me up several times. So I don't know why that movie scared me so much. I don't even remember it being all that good, but like, I remember liking it as a kid. So that would be my answer for Kid Paige. Like I said, I've not really seen either of those as an adult. Adult Paige. So it's a tough one. I would say that like, so the three that have scared me the most, and I have a hard time picking which one was the scariest, was Paranormal Activity, Strangers, and then Creep. And all of them just left me with like, they're all like psychological thrillers. So I left all of them just feeling like very creeped out for a pretty long
period of time. Who said Paranormal Activity is a psychological thriller? I mean, that's like demons. That's paranormal.
I guess, but
different though, because like, you don't really ever see the monster in that movie. So it is like a lot more just sort of. Yeah. getting right. freaked out. Okay.
So that's my answer. What about yours?
Okay. So I have three answers because, again, and as we'll learn, your taste in horror movies and what scares you and everything changes as you age, which, you know, makes sense. But I have three answers because these were movies that, like, really made an impression on me in different stages of my life. So as a kid, this is not a horror movie. But I would say the movie that scared me the most was E.T. Like, I remember watching that and then having a lot of nightmares. And I've watched it since. Like, I know that it's not a horror movie, but
it just messed you up.
It, yeah, it really freaked me out. Like, it took me until my 20s until I watched it again. So it really stressed me out. I had nightmares about that. As a young adult, and I guess young adult, I don't mean like as a teenager, but young adult is in like, I don't know, early 20s. I would say Paranormal Activity. That really stuck with me. It took me a couple of weeks to get over that movie after we saw it. And I know I've talked about that before on the podcast. And that's saying something too, because I don't really think... Well, okay. So like the Conjuring movies, right? Like, they are all revolve around the Warrens and demonic stuff and everything. And I, like I said in our very first episode with the demon stuff, like, it just doesn't really freak me out because I don't think they're real.
Yeah, like, the Conjuring, like, wasn't a scary movie to me.
Right, yeah. Like, I remember, like, that, you know, everyone was like, it's the scariest movie ever. Yeah. And I was like, well, I just sort of think the, like, demonology, like, all this religious symbolism stuff is a little silly. So I don't, like, it didn't really freak me out for that reason. But it's funny because, like, you'll talk to other people and they're, like, you know, sort of blasé about various ghost things, but then, like, when it comes to, like, demon stuff, they're like, oh no, I don't fuck around with that. And it's like,
right.
Oh. So
yeah, I don't know what it is about Paranormal Activity. I mean, I yeah. suppose part of it is it was so low budget, so yeah. it honestly, I would argue that that's part of what it is about Creep too, is yeah. that, like, it just feels so real, even yeah. though you know it's not.
Yeah. So long story short, my point is, like Paige said, for Paranormal Activity to have that much of an impression and freak me out that much, like, yeah, it definitely is on my list of scariest movies that I've seen. And then I guess more recently, or what I would say more recently, first, I saw that you mentioned Creep, and I cannot believe that I forgot that. So
I will never forget that movie.
Yeah. Okay. It's on Netflix. There's a sequel on Netflix, which is also good, but you go into it, like, with knowing what to expect a little more, so it's a little less scary for that reason. It is terrifying. That movie is so, it's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah. So it's like, that one really truly is a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's scary because it could totally happen. And yeah. like I said, because it feels like lower budget and because yeah. of the way they film it, it feels like it is happening.
Yeah. Like, it feels more real. Yeah, yeah. Like Paranormal Activity, Creep, like, they really capture, I mean, basically what blew up, or what's best about found footage horror mm-hmm. movies, and like why Blair Witch, like, blew up, because, like, they're made in such a way that it's like, this really seems like real life. Like, these aren't actors, these are real people experiencing this. So go watch Creep if you haven't. It's so good. But then some other ones that I wanted to mention, so not a movie, but I definitely tell a lot of people that I think the scariest thing that I've seen was the show Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, it's just got everything. Like, it's got good jump scares, it's got just, like, good creepy atmosphere, emotionally, you know, there's, like, there's just a lot to it. But, like, that movie, and I'm sure if you've watched it, and Paige knows, like, There is a jump scare in it that scared me so bad I cried. Again, like, I have watched a lot of horror movies. I feel like I've desensitized myself a little bit at this point. It takes a lot to really freak me out like that. So again, saying something.
I remember when you texted me about that and Ellie and I were like, okay, it's not gonna be that scary. And then we like kept waiting for it. And I was thinking like, we probably already passed it and it wasn't that scary. And then it happened and I like legitimately almost pooped my pants.
Yeah. I know. I probably kind of ruined it because you guys were anticipating it then. Because no, I was not anticipating it. It scared me so bad I cried. We had to pause it and I had to like calm down. Like I'm sure that knocked some amount of time off of my life. Okay. And then a couple other examples. I have so much to say. You guys, I watch a lot of horror movies. So yeah, it's a good thing we tried to go light with our notes today because I knew I was just going to be a chatty Cathy about all of this. But in terms of movies, like recent movies that I think are just like not necessarily scary, but like just generally horrifying are Midsommar and Hereditary, which are both made by Ari Aster. So it's the same director. Hereditary is like, it's got some actual like scary stuff. Midsommar is more just like, that is the weirdest, but also most horrifying movie I've ever seen.
Hereditary?
So, no, Midsommar is.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Yeah. So, and Hereditary, though, is like, it's in the same vibe where it's just like, it's horrifying. It's, yeah, it's very different, I feel like, from a lot of other horror movies out there. So, yeah. So those are my things in terms of what really has freaked me out throughout my life.
Yeah. Hereditary, I thought you guys didn't like that movie because, like, I think we watched it first and we recommended it to you, right?
Yeah. No, we liked it.
Okay. Yeah. That movie, it is really freaking weird.
Yeah.
And it was, like, super good.
Yeah. I think that and Midsommar are just, like, they're good. They're so good. And Toni Collette was, like, fucking robbed for not winning some sort of award for Hereditary. Or at least I don't think she did. I'm going to double check, but I don't even think she was nominated.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
But I think those are two movies where I've seen them. I thought they were so great. I thought they were definitely horrifying, but like they're movies that I've seen once and I never think I need to see them again. Like, I've done it. Great. Whereas, like, there are lots of other horror movies where, like, I just like to rewatch them because I think they're fun. Midsommar and Hereditary, no thank you. I've done that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely probably won't watch Hereditary again. But, yeah, I agree that I really liked it and it scared the poop out of me. But I just don't know why I don't have any interest in seeing Midsommar. I think I've just heard so many weird things about it that I'm like,
it's weird. It's weird, but it's worth it to watch it.
All right. We'll see. All right.
Okay.
We'll talk about our favorite movies again. Oh, don't worry, people.
It'll be a lot.
We're coming back. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about was what happens or like what's the physiological response to watching scary movies. And Megan will get back to this paper later on, but there were just a couple small things from it that I pulled. So I wanted to touch on it real fast. So the paper that this came from is in Frontiers in Psychology by Jean-Neil Martin, but it's called Why Do You Like Scary Movies? A review of the empirical research on psychological responses to horror films, published in 2019. So I pulled a quote from that, and they say, behaviorally, horror films can create shivering, closing of the eyes, startle, shielding of the eyes, trembling, paralysis. I think it's piloerection.
I would have said piloerection.
I would have too. Whatever. Piloerection. One of those two. Withdraw, heaving, and screaming. It can produce changes in psychophysiology, specifically increasing heart rate, galvanic skin response. And then mentally, it can create anxiety, fear, empathy, and thoughts of disgust.
Piloerection.
It's like when you're... The hair on your skin stands up. Your hair stands up. Well, I don't know if it's specifically... Yeah, I guess it is technically... Yeah, you're right.
That's goosebumps.
Goosey bumpies.
Oh.
Now we know.
And then galvanic skin response has just got to be... You get sweaty, right?
Sweaty!
Okay.
Like me right now.
That's always, though.
True. So, in this article, or in this paper, they discuss a couple different articles. And there was one written in 2004 by a woman named Joanne Cantor, or Cantor, Cantor, we don't Cantor. Know. She summarizes a study in which students were asked to write papers about their experiences with horror films. And then they go through and they analyze 3 years' worth of papers, which is 530 papers that these students have written about horror films. And I also want to read them. Basically, what they find out is that 46% of these students report sleep disturbances after watching a horror film, and 76% reported having anxiety. I couldn't find, and I don't know, you read the whole paper, so I don't know if they talk about it anymore, but I pulled up that specific article and I couldn't find the full text anywhere. So I guess I don't really know, 76% reported having anxiety. Well, I have anxiety every day. So what I don't know is if they would have already reported it. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure they controlled, though, for, specifically related to the movie.
I just wanted to mention that, I didn't read the full text, so I can't say for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can. I guess if I were asked a question like that, I can imagine how I would respond, which is, sure, I'm anxious all the time. That's just me. But, specifically, I had anxiety for a couple weeks after I watched Paranormal Activity. Related to sort of just being, uneasy about things.
Yeah. So then in another study, they asked 50 participants, which doesn't seem like that many to me. But they do ask 50 participants to watch neutral, pleasant, and unpleasant film clips while standing on a device that measures a person's motor behavior. So they find that when the participants watch the unpleasant films, they would frequently freeze or they would show reduced body sway. And a lot of times there would be heart rate deceleration, which is the opposite of what I would have thought.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll have to talk about that later. I don't know, though. That's funny. Because I feel like when I watch things that make me uncomfortable, I feel like personally I get more fidgety.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel like I would
hop around or fidget more. But I guess, yeah, I don't know. Maybe most people's response is sort of the flight or fright. Flight or fight is just to
I think you're having a hard time because you're saying it backwards.
Wait, what am I saying? What is it?
Fight or flight. You're saying flight or fight.
Shut up.
Or you're
a deer in the headlights response.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. Freak you out. Does that mean that you and I would run? Or that you and I would fight?
I don't know.
Because I feel the same thing. I feel like my heart gets going.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But like I said, it was also only 50 participants, so...
That's a decent amount, though, for a full, medical, whatever, study, I think.
I thought that was a pretty small amount. Heck, I don't know. Maybe it is normal.
They gotta bring all these people in and do all sorts of stuff with them. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's what they find.
Okay.
So then one of the other things that article covers, and I think that you're going to talk about a little bit more, but I actually kind of switched and I read another article about is why people like scary movies. And there are several theories about this, but the article that I read specifically, they talked to a man named Malcolm Turvey, who is a director of film and media studies. And he talks about three theories specifically. And the first is what he calls the beast within theory, which says that that basically, and he also says it's the most popular theory, which I found odd. But he says that it argues that an unconscious, repressed part of every human is actually savage.
Oh.
That the veneer of civility is very thin, and beneath that is essentially a monster. So basically, he's saying that, like, we're watching it and thinking that if we could, we would also be doing what this monster is doing. Which, like, I just have a hard time with. Like, I'm not
watching horror movies being like, man, I really wish I could go around murdering people.
Right.
I think that tells us a little bit more about Malcolm Turvey than it does about anyone else.
I mean, I certainly believe there are people out there who watch it for that reason. There's got to be. But, like, it's hard for me to believe that that's the most popular theory as to why people in general watch.
Yeah. Well, and I could see. So I remember from and I'll mention this again later, but the conversations that we had with Rebecca when we did the zombies episode and Holly when we did the vampires episode, that especially with the vampires, like, becoming popular during the Victorian era was like, oh, they were a representation of, like, here are all these things that Victorian society is, like, repressed about, and that, you know, they would actually like to be doing, but they can't because of civilized society. But that's a weird argument, though. I'm not, like, watching horror movies thinking, like, yeah, I want to murder people.
Yeah, it reminds me of the whole, like, surgeons are surgeons because, like, it fills their desire to, like, murder people and to cut people open.
Oh, no.
You've never heard that? I want to say that was, like, a Freud thing, but I don't remember. Yeah, we talked about it in one of my psychology classes, that, like, there was a psychologist who, like, basically believed that, like, you pick things in life that, like, fulfill desires that you can't act on. So, like, basically, yeah, his whole thing was, like, surgeons are surgeons because, like, it allows them to cut people open and give them that, like, rush, I guess. I don't know. This was from, like, my freshman year in college, so it's been some time since we talked about it, but that just reminded me of that. Right. And I hate it. I like to believe that surgeons are just good people.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm down with the beast within theory.
I don't know that I am either. Like, yeah. I said, I'm sure some people are watching it thinking, like, man, I wish I could do that. But, like, I wouldn't say I believe a majority of people are.
No.
So then the next one, his next theory the next theory he talks about is what he calls the thrill theory, which is that the thrill and the arousal of watching a scary movie in itself is enough to keep us engaged. That almost, like, there's not really anything else other than just, like, we like the way it feels to be thrilled by this film.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I figured it was basically akin to, like, going to an amusement park. Like,
yeah,
you're tricking your brain into, like, oh, I'm in this, like, dangerous situation, or, like, you know, I'm getting, like, dropped down this enormous hill on a roller coaster. Like, people like that feeling, or there's, like, an adrenaline rush associated with it.
Yeah. And so Turvey says, what's special about consuming horror is you can feel certain strong feelings without suffering the consequences, which allows you to enjoy the sensation.
Yeah.
So yeah, similar to that, kind of goes back a little bit to even, like, our boogeyman discussion, where it's like it gives you
something, like an outlet. So
this is the theory that I like, but it sort of goes hand in hand with another article, and this is a HuffPost article, but I remember when it was first published, or at least, like, when I first saw it kind of making its rounds on social media, I got, like, very excited about it because I was like, oh my god, this describes me. Basically, the article says that there are many reasons that people specifically with anxiety might like scary movies. And their thoughts are that it could give a distraction from real life triggers, could help validate, you know, real life fears. It gives a controlled environment to experience their fears, and that it can be kind of like an exposure therapy. So in this article, when talking about how movies can be kind of a distraction from real life triggers, Jocelyn McDonnell, who is a therapist and member of cognitive behavioral therapy team, says, "I can see how watching horror movies would allow a person with anxiety to focus their worry and attention towards something unrelated to their lives. These movies could provide a distraction from their personal worries that are causing them physical and emotional distress. For example, instead of worrying about making a mistake on a presentation at work tomorrow, the person would be focusing on fearful stimuli that is unrelated to their lives, such as being chased by a clown that lives in a sewer." Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. I said, mm-hmm. reading that, it's like, this is literally my life. Like, mm-hmm. I just find things to distract me from the other things that I don't want yes. to think about.
Yes. It's like, That's exactly how I see horror movies. Is it's like basically like a coping mechanism or a yes. way to like disassociate from the things that are stressing me out in real life. Like, here's an hour and a half or 2 hours that I'm focused on the problems or like scary things that are happening in this movie rather than, I don't know, freaking myself out about something in my personal life.
Right. It's comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like comforting in a weird way. Like, here's an example. The night before I took my qualifying exam for my PhD, I watched The Shining. So it was like, I'm just going to worry about this for a couple hours. And then, you know, I don't have to worry about what's happening tomorrow.
Right.
Or I think there have been times when I've been like particularly sad in my life where I was like watching a lot of like intense movies or scary movies. Like, I think I watched like Jurassic World or something like that. And Stephen was like, "Why are you watching this if you're already like sort of sad and stressed out?" And I was like, "It helps me to see people suffer." Yeah. That's maybe a fucked up thing to say, but it's fine. Okay.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, yeah, I like that theory. I also think, though, that this next theory can sort of play into the last one. And I still buy
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, this is a list of reasons why people might like scary movies. And we're probably, when we were talking about the first one, like not relating to it at all, you know, that's us. But I guess, yeah, like you said, like this could be, it's not an all or nothing kind of thing.
It's a combination of the three.
It's a combination of things. So like maybe I don't relate to the first one at all, thinking like that I actually want to do these things or experience these things. But yeah, but the other.
But somebody out there probably does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the third theory is the real fears theory. And so Turvey says that watching horror films can basically just put us in touch with our real fears. Mm-hmm. He uses a couple examples, but he uses one of my favorite horror films as an example and says that Get Out is a good example where Jordan Peele uses the film to tackle real life social and racial issues.
Yeah.
Which, like, yes, that's a good reason. I mean, like, the movie is brilliant. But, like, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that, you know, obviously is what he does. But I mm-hmm. also think that watching it, like, I don't know, it's kind of the same thing, right? It, like, puts these issues that you're having or that you're struggling with every day and puts it on the screen so that way you can watch it and think about it, like, in a different way that mm-hmm. maybe isn't, like, quite as depressing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, and I also wrote a note saying that like with the sort of beast within argument, this is also very similar to a lot of what Holly and Rebecca said about zombies and vampires, is that these stories and the way they play out, like when the different stories were written, like, you know, a vampire story from 100 years ago versus one now, it's like all a reflection of society at the time, basically. Yeah. Like what we're afraid of at the time. And I would also argue that it very much, that horror movies very much change with the times and like what is happening in the world then. So like, yeah, Get Out is a great example because at the time that it came out, or well, which is like basically now, right? We've got all of this, these racial issues coming to light and coming to the forefront, and we're trying to deal with them. And how, like, Holly talked about, like, how some vampire films, like, came out at the height of sort of like the AIDS panic and stuff. And so it was like a representation of that. Or, like, a, you know, post 2008 recession, we got a ton of like sort of apocalyptic zombie films because it was like, here's what happens when society like completely collapses.
Right.
So, yeah. So they're a way to deal with like real fears and real things happening in the world.
I think that like the reason that they're being made makes sense. I just find it interesting that like we're choosing to watch movies on topics that are like already difficult to deal with on a daily basis, but I suppose it's just like it's giving you a way. It's like you said, it's like an exposure therapy. It's like a therapy.
Yeah,
it's like a way for you to think about it.
It's sort of just an extension of the previous reason, you know, doing it for the thrill of it, but like also it's sort of like the boogeyman. Like this is giving you a way to compartmentalize these real fears into, you know, a single package that you can watch and think about. And so here's the thing, horror movies are important to society and scary stuff is important to society. That's really, you know, I haven't thought about it until now, but we've done all this stuff with like boogeyman and vampires and zombies and now just like generally like horror movies and stuff, and obviously like, you know, the written horror genre would be related to this, but it's like, yeah, it's like an important societal tool. Like all these different myths and whatever and where they come from and like what they mean about society, like dang.
Yeah. Right.
They're important, god damn it. And I'm sort of gonna skip ahead because I know you noted this later, but it's relevant right now. But yeah, like it's fucking bullshit that horror movies like basically never get any recognition in award season.
Yeah. So I was very frustrated by this. And like, I guess I, you know, I've obviously recognized it. I've watched the Oscars before, but I didn't realize just how few horror films have actually even been nominated for an Oscar. So
yeah.
This was from an article. This was actually from the same article, I believe, which was written, like I said, in 2019. And they, so at that point in 2019, there had only ever been 6 horror films ever nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
That's crazy.
What's even sadder is only one of those have ever actually won an Oscar. And that was The Silence of the Lambs.
Which is so good.
So good. But the other 5, the 5 that had been nominated were The Exorcist,
okay,
Jaws, The Sixth Sense,
okay,
Black Swan, and Get Out. Which, like, I if I remember correctly, wasn't Get Out, like, nominated as, like, a comedy or something?
That was at the Golden Globes. It got into the general, because the Golden Globes separates them, and sometimes those get funny because they put movies basically in the category that they think they're most likely to win, even though they don't really fit in that category.
Yeah, because, like, Get Out's not funny.
Yeah, I mean, there are
funny parts.
Parts of it, that are funny, but it's like, it's not supposed to be, a comedy overall. So it was a weird category for it to go in. But, okay.
I also just wanted to mention that the article, like I said, was written in 2019, and the movie Parasite did win, which is technically classified as like a thriller. But, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'd be willing to give the horror genre a win for that one, too. So, like, maybe there's been 2 wins if you include that. Parasite's, so kind of a little bit of everything.
Parasite's so good. What I was gonna... Oh, my gosh. So many good movies. What I was gonna say, though, is Yeah, like sure, throw Parasite in there or count it as a win for horror, because like I don't really think of Black Swan as a horror.
I don't
like,
either.
It's like a psychological thriller. Like it's definitely a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I wouldn't have counted it as a horror.
So that's
movie
a weird
either.
One. And then I almost feel like, yeah, I guess I know Jaws shows up as like a classic horror film, but it's just so different. Like it's more like a big budget, like action adventure sort of movie. So
more like a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, which I guess does count. And there's another movie that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. But
that one makes a little more sense, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, so sorry to skip ahead, but I just like it. My brain was exploding because I was like, hey, we need to give horror movies more credit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
like, give them in their own damn category or something. I don't know.
Has Hill House won any awards? Do you know?
I can't remember if it was nominated for Golden Globes or not, or for Emmys.
I don't remember.
I don't know. It should have been, though.
Yeah, and so
I think she was. I think the mom was.
Okay.
Her name's Carla something something.
And like, I think A Quiet Place should have won something. I don't know that it ever did.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like at the Golden Globes, like animated films get their own category. Like they should just make a horror film category. Dumb. Okay. Well, start a petition, somebody.
Because apparently we're not going to.
No. Well, I guess we could try to lead this charge. We'll try to. We might. We'll see where we are. Okay. So I'm going to keep going with more from this paper that Paige mentioned, from written by G. Neil Martin in the Frontiers in Psychology Journal. Okay. So this is a review paper, and this is just sort of like a little aside that I wanted to put in there. But if we haven't mentioned it before, a review paper, because we've used other ones when we've been doing research for this show, it is in the scientific literature. It's a paper that synthesizes literature and data from a bunch of different sources into a single summary paper. So basically, it's perfect for a show like this, or if you're just like trying to dive into a new subject, it's a great place to start because the language used in it tends to be a little bit more general, and it essentially just gives you like a big list of specific sources to look into afterwards. So pro tip, if you're trying to figure out anything about scientific literature, start with review papers. It's a great place to go. Okay. So this particular one puts together literature on the psychology of horror films and people's consumption of them and their enjoyment of them. And so like the main questions that they're asking are, why do they watch them? Why do they enjoy them? How do people respond to different genres? What effect does being exposed to horror movies have on a person? And what techniques do horror films use to scare their audience? So a big section that they do for that is like on the sound mixing and music that's used in horror movies, which we've talked about before. So with respect to horror audiences, they note six main findings in their abstract. And so I'm going to quote those here. But Paige, if you have any comments, feel free to chime in. So first, they say low empathy and fearfulness are associated with more enjoyment and desire to watch horror film, but that specific dimensions of empathy are better predictors of people's responses than are others. And I was like, well, fucking rude. Like, I think I'm an empathetic person.
Yeah, I like horror movies. Was pretty offended by this one as well.
Although, to be fair, I like literally just said like, it makes me feel better to watch other people suffer.
Yeah, I mean, you did say that. I did not.
Okay, but it was like mostly a joke.
No, I know. I just like, I have always considered myself like super empathetic. I'm like the type of person who like, if you're upset and crying, I'm crying with you.
Yeah.
So like, fuck you, Arthur. Fuck you, paper. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Although like, to be fair, maybe using like... using like movies where I'm watching bad things happen to other people as like a coping mechanism to deal with my own bad things, maybe that's less empathetic. I don't know. Either way, I felt attacked.
I did too.
Okay. So second, there's a positive relationship between sensation seeking and horror enjoyment slash preference, but this relationship is not consistent. So I think that means, like, you know, if you like going to theme parks or like roller coaster rides, you're gonna like horror movies better, or it might have something to do with your preference.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Men and boys prefer to watch, enjoy, and seek out horror more than do women and girls. Whatever. It's fine. I feel like the people that I know that are the biggest horror fans are in my life are women. So
yeah, me too.
So fine. Whatever. Women are more prone to disgust sensitivity or anxiety than are men, and this may mediate the sex difference in the enjoyment of horror. That's probably true. Meaning, like, if something's, like, gross or gory or disgusting, like, women are going to be more sensitive to that. Or, like, it's going to make them more anxious than it would a man. I mean, we know that from cleaning our house.
My
threshold for disgusting is way lower than Steven's is.
So, I super heard you say disgust. Disgust. And then when I tried to read it, I kept reading women are men prone. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So I understand now. Sorry. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can get behind that one.
Yeah. Okay. Younger children are afraid of symbolic stimuli, whereas older children become afraid of concrete or realistic stimuli. I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Young children be more afraid of, like, monsters under their bed and the whole concept of a boogeyman. And then you get older and, like, the stuff that freaks you out is, like, more so the stuff that could actually happen.
Right.
That's more realistic. Yeah. Okay. I love how we're like, we agree with this. We don't agree with this, as if our opinion matters. Like, we don't know. We're just reacting to these things. Okay. In terms of coping with horror, physical coping strategies are more successful in younger children. Priming them with information about the feared object reduces fear and increases children's enjoyment of frightening television and film. So here's what I've learned. Before I show Alice anything scary, I just need to, like, have a little chat with her about it.
Yeah, but also you should definitely show her scary stuff.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I think so too.
Okay, so this whole paper is awesome and fascinating. There are a couple of tidbits that I thought were particularly interesting, so I wanted to mention them. So, like we talked about before, you know, we'd heard this thing about anxious people using horror movies as, like, a disassociation or coping method because we do it. This paper has this section on mental health and horror movies and notes that some studies have said that horror movies can lead to something called cinematic neurosis, which is an abnormal stress or distress reaction requiring psychological or psychiatric intervention. Presumably, that means, like, it, you know, in everyday life, like, they need help to get through everyday life because something has, like, really affected them from a horror movie.
Oh, that's so terrifying.
I know. So I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm stressed out about this. But then I kept reading.
So you're going to have to go watch a horror film.
Yes. We're getting into some sort of weird loop now. No. But they find, though, that the examples of people, like, having these really extreme reactions requiring, you know, some sort of psychological or psychiatric help. So actually having this, like, cinematic neuroses, they're super rare, and most likely it's people that had underlying mental health problems, and the horror movie just served as, like, a catalyst for bringing it to the surface. So, like, don't worry. Like, it's not hurting your brain. You're, like, scarring you for life to watch horror movies.
Yeah, but, like, also...
But could it push you over the edge, potentially?
Yeah, that's, like, also sort of terrifying.
Yeah. And again, like, that's sort of my quick interpretation of it. So it's like, oh, I don't know. I think a good example that I could think of, and I don't know if you've watched this, but and a lot of people talk about it, though, is, like, a great example that I can think of and, like, something that's, like, set off, like, a real, like, neurosis for me that's related to a horror movie is the fucking Final Destination movies.
Oh my god, the trucks.
Like, yeah, like the logging truck. Like, I see a logging truck and I'm
Oh, yeah.
I'm nervous about it.
I'm terrified I'm going to get crushed.
Yes. And, like, I'm, I still, like, get paranoid because of those movies about just, like, dying in, like, some sort of, like, freak accident in everyday life. Like, falling onto a knife or, like, I don't know, something insane happened while I'm trying to, like, go down the stairs or something. And it's like, I don't think that I need therapy about it. So I don't think I have, like, a straight-up condition. But, like, that is an example where, like, me and so many other people I know have, like, developed this, like, long-lasting fear because of those movies.
Yeah. Those movies are great.
They're great, but like I should have never watched them. Like it's really stuck in my brain. So, yeah. And I'm like not even clear that I would say that they're like that scary.
No, I wouldn't just say like, so either.
They're just stressful.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. All right. Anyway, so that was one thing. I don't think it's going to scar you for life, but you know, who knows? Maybe I'll snap one day. So, they briefly talk about what we know with respect to neuropsychology in horror movies. So meaning physically, how is the brain reacting? What's getting activated in your brain when you watch a horror movie? And apparently we don't know that much. So there's been a ton of work that's been done on the brain's response to fear. And apparently, it is primarily controlled by a region of our brain called the amygdala, which is involved in fear recognition and our experience of fear. But no one has specifically looked at the effects of horror films on brain activation before, which is crazy.
Yeah.
However, a study that they felt was relevant, though, was one that was done on a woman who had a bilateral amygdala injury. And meaning, I think both sides or something got injured. I don't know. But while her IQ and language and like, you know, other brain function was normal, she basically just wasn't afraid of anything anymore. Like, they had her visit like a pet shop with snakes and spiders. And I guess like while she vocally said like, oh, I don't want to go near those, she's still like, repeatedly approached them and like talked about how she wanted to touch them and stuff. So she wasn't afraid. They took her to haunted houses, and she was like volunteering to lead people around and wasn't scared of any of the monsters. They showed her horror movie clips and nothing. Like, whereas like other like clips of movies like meant to elicit like happiness or sadness or whatever, she reacted, you know, the normal way, the way you'd expect her to react, scary stuff, nothing.
That's crazy.
I know. So clearly, basically the point is clearly your amygdala has something to do with how you react to horror movies or how you experience them.
That, I mean, that makes sense. That just like, I mean, that sounds like it would be awesome because you wouldn't be afraid of anything, but it's also probably pretty dangerous.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're afraid of things for a reason. Like, it's all part of your like lizard brain. Like, don't eat those weird berries or like, don't go out in the forest at night because things are going to eat you or snatch you or whatever.
Right. So,
like, fear is a good thing. Again, horror movies are important. Okay. But they suggest, though, that a future study could look at how amygdala reactivity is associated with horror film enjoyment. So basically asking the question, does a more reactive amygdala make you enjoy horror films more? And or be more afraid of them. Because, like, I would argue, like, if you're not afraid, like, it would seem less fun, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are some movies that I think I'd still enjoy, but there are quite a few that I probably wouldn't care to ever see again.
Yeah.
Like, Paranormal Activity would be a terrible movie if it wasn't, if it wasn't
like, if you weren't afraid, you'd just be like, wow, this guy's just kind of an asshole to his girlfriend.
And he is, you're right.
And he is a little bit. Yeah. On a personal note, like I mentioned before, one thing that I've noticed is that it like definitely takes a lot more to scare me now in horror movies, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, for me, I don't typically get like, I mean, yeah, if there's a big jump scare like that, I'll freak me out a little.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to get me to like continue thinking about the movie afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different type of movie now than it used to be.
Yeah, you know? I just feel like over time, I don't know if I've like desensitized myself or what, but like it just makes me wonder like if something physiological has happened in my brain
that, well, like, I guess I'm saying I wonder if it's just that like the types of movies you're like, I think as an adult the only ones that scare me now are the ones that like could literally happen to me tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what they said about kids too, like younger kids, you know, the more like supernatural things scared them, but then older kids it was like more the real life things freaked them out.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so that is our overview of why people like to watch scary movies and what's happening in your brain, or what does it say about you if you like to watch scary movies. And Paige and I might be monsters, but it's fine. So, another thing that I looked into for this episode, and I was so excited when I saw this. So, this is a list of the top 20 scariest movies. And when this came out, which was in 2020, it was last fall, so it was not that long ago, it was like every article that came out about it was like, these are the scariest movies according to science. And I was like, super cool, somebody did like a study on horror movies scientifically and like made this ranking of the scariest ones. And that is not what happened. So this is a great example of checking your sources when you see a sensational headline. So this study, which is under the Science of Scare Project, was conducted by broadbandchoices.com, which is a website that does comparisons of broadband internet deals. So I was like, this is not a scientific study at all. So like, I don't really think there's much that's scientific about this, unless they like hired a crew of scientists to do it, but it doesn't really seem like they did. So that was a little disappointing, but we're still gonna go over them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess in their minds they're like, oh, they're wearing a heart monitor, so it's scientific. But like, there's just so sure. much more to it.
Yeah,
than
but like that's just because like you are monitoring people doesn't make it science.
Doesn't
but
make
anyway.
It... Right. Okay.
It's a whole other thing. It's fine. Okay. So their methods though were to curate a list of the 50 best horror films, and this was based on lists that had been made by critics as well as Reddit recommendations. So scientific. Then they had a panel of 50 people watch all of them while they were fitted with a heart rate monitor. And then movies were ranked in order of average heart rate. So the average resting heart rate was 65. And then they, you know, basically just ranked the movies of like how high were people's heart rates on average. And I had questions about this methodology because I was like, well, did they do like a weighted average, like with respect to the length of the film to limit the effect of like really extreme jump scares, or like, you know, some movies have a ton of jump scares, others have like one, but like I would still say that some with less jump scares are still scarier than others. So anyway.
Right.
I'm sure that I shouldn't even ask because it's not a scientific study. Okay. So here is the list of the 20 best films that kept heart rates above average and like, yeah, kept heart rates high, and this in order of how high they were. So it goes Sinister, Insidious, The Conjuring, Hereditary, Paranormal Activity, It Follows, The Conjuring 2, The Babadook, The Descent, The Visit, The Ring, A Quiet Place, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 28 Days Later, The Exorcist, Hush, It, and Scream. So there you go. And apparently Insidious, which is number 2 overall, has the best jump scare because it brought heart rates the highest.
Which one was that? I'm sorry.
Insidious had the best jump scare. Okay. And I know exactly what moment in the movie it is that made people's hearts explode. But it's pretty high. Like, people's heart rates jumped to like 133 beats per minute. So here's the thing. You just watch horror movies and it's like sort of like a workout.
That's true.
It could be a weight loss strategy. I should get to count it as exercise. Okay, so I thought it would be fun to sort of wrap up this episode to do our own rankings of this list. Because when I saw this list, so despite the fact that I'm, you know, sort of shitting on people calling this a scientific study, I do actually think that the list of movies that they watched and then the list of 20 top ones that they came up with is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good list.
So I want to hear Paige's ranking.
Okay. We ranked these based off what we thought they were, that, oh my God, what we thought were scariest. And I will say that, like, I only actually thought a couple of these were, like, really scary. And the other ones, I just kind of, like, put them where I thought maybe they should go. So you want me to go through all 20?
Sure.
Okay. So Paranormal Activity is number one for me.
Uh-huh.
Followed by Hush. Yeah. Followed by Hush. Hereditary.
Okay. I thought that one was a surprise.
Really?
Yeah. Hush was much lower. I didn't think Hush was like, yeah. I was just sort of like, when I was making my list, sorry, I'm interrupting you already.
You're fine.
But when I was making my list, I was sort of thinking, like, trying to think back to, like, when I first saw the movie, like, how uneasy was I during it? And, like, Hush was, it's good, and it was intense, but I don't know if I thought it was, like, very scary.
Well, so I guess it depends if, I mean, I guess based off of their little study that they did, like, sure, maybe it would have moved it down a little bit, but, like, as far as, like, it stuck with me. Like, I remember it sticking with me for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Insidious and Sinister, I cannot for the life of me remember which of these movies is which. So, but I remember, like, both of them definitely, like scared me a little bit. Uh-huh. So I just kind of put them as 4 and 5 because, like, I don't remember which one's which.
But, like, sort of interchangeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Descent, yeah. The Ring. Okay. And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, thinking back on that movie, I haven't watched it as an adult. It probably isn't all that scary, but, like, I just remember it, like, really, it freaked me out when I watched it, and then I had to, like, walk home alone, so that didn't help.
Yeah.
So Texas Chainsaw Massacre is 8, and then The Conjuring.
Okay.
And then I put 28 Days Later because, well, look at us now.
It is scarier in context.
Yeah. Well, and I only watched it for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then It Follows, The Exorcist, Nightmare on Elm Street, A Quiet Place, wonderful movie, didn't think it was scary.
Yeah, no, it was not scary.
Halloween, Scream, The Babadook, did not think that was a good movie. Turned it off halfway through it because I thought it was boring.
You're a dummy.
And then I've never seen The Visit, nor have I ever seen The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, both of those are worth watching. So
yeah, The Visit looks really good. I actually didn't really love the first Conjuring.
Okay.
So I didn't really care to see the second one.
Got it. Okay. I might try again. Yeah, despite, like, not really caring about the whole demon thing, I love the Conjuring movies, so whatever. I'm here for it.
All right, what's yours?
Okay, so mine, and I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is like a huge gap in my horror film history because I've made an effort to, like, really go back and watch a lot of the classics, so I gotta remedy that. But I'm sure you guys are not surprised about Paranormal Activity as number one because, again, that stuck with me. I put Hereditary as number two. I don't think that's a surprise. Then I said the Descent.
Mm-hmm.
Then Insidious and Sinister, sort of swapping out. Yeah, I put them as 4 and 5 respectively. But I think, like you said, I had trouble deciding, like, which one I thought was the scarier one. Although I think I've watched Insidious more often, so I don't know. Either way. Okay. 6, The Ring. That was, like, one of the first dates that your brother and I ever went on. So
Really, the first date we ever went on was Paranormal Activity.
Oh, well, there you go.
Relationships yeah. built off horror.
Yeah, so that movie freaked me out. Okay, 7, The Conjuring. 8, The Babadook, because you were wrong about it. 9, It. 10, 28 Days Later. We were the same on that one, so yeah. Look at us. 11, I said The Conjuring 2. 12, A Quiet Place. 13, Hush. So it was way further down the list for me. 14, Halloween, because that's the... Yeah, that is the highest of the ones that were like the classics on here that I had or that I had seen. Because I remember that being like really unsettling to watch. The Visit, It Follows, The Exorcist, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and then Scream.
Our top 10 are pretty darn similar other than Hush close. And The Babadook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're actually, the lists are more similar than I thought they were. So there you go. Anyway, we'll share these when we post this episode. I'll make a little panel that has our lists on it so everybody else can compare.
Perfect. All righty, well.
Yeah.
Looks like it's about that time. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up our second... this isn't our second scary movie episode. What the frick? See, I'm convinced we've done this before. I'm having like some sort of weird... I'm having something happening. So this is not our second. This is our first. That wraps up our scary movie science episode. Tune in to episode 32 to hear us talk about crop circles. If you liked this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpookySciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website, SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at StraightUpStrange.com.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.